الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa we will continue from where we left off last week we are discussing Hazrat Khwaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh's message to the ummat of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam in poetry form and this message was given at a time when Muslim life had become very cheap. Thousands of people were losing their lives in the riots that were taking place. And Muslims were divided. Politically they were divided. Economically they were weak. Socially there were all kinds of problems. And at that time, people believed that if you place your trust in this party or that party, then you will gain victory, you will gain success, you will gain all the best of this world and the akhirat. So at that time he gave this message that, oh you Muslims, get up, get up. It's too long that you have slept. We have discussed some part of it. That he says that they have actually drilled a hole in the wall of your home and entered. If somebody enters the home, if some thief enters our home, Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah Ta'ala protect, but if some thief has to enter somebody's home with a duplicate key, then it is understandable that very silently he can enter that home. But if somebody comes with a big drill and makes a hole in the wall, 9-inch wall, 12-inch wall, and then enters, and the person still remains sleeping, then something is wrong with that person. So he says that they have entered your home by drilling a hole in the wall and you are still asleep. When will you get up? And I explained to you that how the thieves have entered our homes. What he is referring to is the thieves of our culture, our Islamic values, our Islamic norms, our Islamic system of life. They have entered our homes and they have stolen it. Makkah Mukarramah and Madinah Tayyibah, these two cities will be protected even from Dajjal. Dajjal will not be able to enter. But the fitnas of Dajjal, and especially the smaller Dajjals before the coming of the real Dajjal, those fitnas have entered Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif, as I have explained many times. But these two cities, we all know that before we come closer to Makkah Sharif or Madinah Sharif, there are wards. Entry for non-Muslims not allowed. We all know that. Because of the Quranic injunction, non-Muslims are not allowed into these Mubarak cities and Mubarak lands. And the government of the time also strictly applies this law. No matter how much of condemnation and criticism they may get from Clinton and party or any other ruler, no matter how much those rulers may desire to come into Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif, even our President Mandela too, when he went there, they had to take him to Riyadh, but he was not allowed into Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif. It shows the Quranic injunction up till today, it is being implemented. And they are not afraid or ashamed to say that this is our Islamic law. This is a special place for Ibadat. And therefore, people who do not have faith in Allah Ta'ala, people who do not have a purification of their hearts from kufr and shirk, they are not allowed to enter these Mubarak lands. So no matter who the ruler may be, but they are quite brave enough and courageous enough to tell them that you are not allowed to enter these Mubarak cities. They can go on writing how much they like against this injunction of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the government also knows fully well that if they have to go against this command of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then the Ummat, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam, Ummat, the 1 billion Muslims, they will start making a big issue. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala protected it. There was great wisdom in this ayat of the Quran Sharif. There was great wisdom in this hukam of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why they were not allowed into Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif? Because those two cities, imagine if we had tourists coming in there. We know what the tourists are dressed like. Go to Masjid al-Aqsa and see the women walking in there with short skirts, open hair, with cameras and clicking around. Now this is the condition of Masjid al-Aqsa. So if these two cities had been open, imagine the tourists flooding in there from America, from Europe, from England, and from all parts of the world. We would have found the streets of Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif no different from the streets of Durban or London or Paris. Now where would the people have been able to concentrate on their ibadat when we would have been seeing all this kind of filth all around? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala desired that these cities be protected from the influence of the outside world, especially the corruption and the fitnas that are outside should not come into Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif. So have not the enemies entered these cities also? When we say that they have drilled a hole in the wall and entered, this is what he is referring to. That they have entered our homes, and the home of all homes is Makkah Sharif. So this, on the smaller scale, on the lower scale, it is our homes. But if Makkah Sharif and Madinah Sharif has not been saved from this fitna, that through the television, how many non-Muslims have entered the cities? Did we ever think? Clinton entered the city. Blair entered the city. Michael Jackson entered the city. All the other singers and dancers and gamblers and drug addicts and the filth of the world has entered the cities via the television. So is this not entering the city, or is this not entering the home by drilling in the wall, that it should have got up everybody? Every person throughout the world should have screamed. They should have said, what is this that we are allowing into this holy land? But nobody had the courage to say anything. So all the filth came in through this media. Then the magazines started coming. You can go to any bookshop there and you will find magazines, film actors, film actresses, and their pictures, everything is entering there. But we are looking at our homes. That he says that they have entered your home. They are stealing your culture. They are stealing your norms and your value system. They have destroyed everything. What have they left? And are you still going to remain asleep? When are you going to get up from this slumber? When are you going to get up from this indifference and negligence? So that is what we discussed at some length. Now we go further. But just to recap it, तुम्हारे घर में चोरों ने लगाई है नकब जागो, तुम्हारे घरों में चोरों ने लगाई है नकब जागो, तुम्हारा ये लिए जाते हैं माल असबाब सब जागो, पड़े हो अब भी गाफिल कर रहे हो क्या गजब जागो, बहुत सोए बहुत सोए बस अब जागो, बस अब जागो, مسلمانوں اٹھو بحر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ، نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ. And then we also discussed that there was a time when the Muslims used to say that we are ruling over Europe, ruling over India, ruling over Spain, ruling over so many countries of the world. Today too we say we have got more than 50 countries, we say are Muslim countries. And we are claiming that everything is ours. Chino Arab Hamara, Hindustan Hamara, Muslim Hai Ham, Sara Jahan Hamara. At one time we used to say like that. He says today also we are claiming this is ours, that is ours. But what is ours? Everything is controlled from the outside. One small Israel is making the entire Muslim world dance. Nothing can be done about it. Only protests, signing protests, marching on the streets, having big, big conferences, having big, big summits, discussions, discussions, talks, talks and talks. Resolutions which are filed away after the meeting. Arab countries are meeting. What's going to happen? They are going to discuss the bombings here and the bombings there. And at the end of it, nothing has happened. So what is then yours, he says? What is yours? Nothing. The ammunition from the outside, the missiles from the outside, the radars from the outside, your security control from the outside, your military trained outside. What have you got? Nothing.
کبھی وہ وقت بھی تھا جب یہ تھا سارا دیار اپنا کسی شے پر مگر باقی نہیں اب اختیار اپنا یہ اب غیروں کا ہے بالکل کہیں ہم بالکل کہیں ہم گو ہزار اپنا سزا اس کی ہے کیوں چھوڑا وہ اسلامی شعار اپنا.
Why did you give up the Islami shiar, Islami way of life? Why did you distance yourself from deen and sharia? This is the punishment.
Tumhara har naye daure hukumat mein badal jana namuna ho ke bhi har qaum ke saanche mein dhal jana.
This is something that we discussed at length also. Get the tape of last week if you were not here. That when a government changes, then we change too. New government, then new brand of Islam we bring into our lives. The government has legislated, they have legalized porn, they have legalized abortion, they have legalized homosexuality, they have legalized every kind of filth. So we too rushed. We too rushed for it. We didn't realize that we have a culture of our own. Now we go ahead, otherwise we will be bogged down here.
Na surat hai musalmani, na sirat hai musalmani. Na surat hai musalmani, na sirat hai musalmani. بھلا اس حال میں پھر کیا ہو تم پر فضل یزدانی بھلا اس حال میں پھر کیا ہو تم پر فضل یزدانی رہے ناکام گو تم کر چکے ہر سعی امکانی مسلمان بن کے دیکھو کام را پھر ہو بآسانی مسلمانوں اٹھو بحر عمل تیار ہو جاؤ نہیں یہ وقت غفلت کا بس اب بیدار ہو جاؤ.
He says if you have to look at the condition of the Muslims, he is talking about his time and it is no different in our time. In India, when the Muslims even went to the extent of wearing the dhoti, they went to the extent of emulating and following Gandhi in his dressing also. They went to the extent of telling the people that since the Hindu community regards and considers cow as their god. Therefore, you should avoid making qurbani of cows. All these things, if you know history, then these things were said by Muslim leaders. We were prepared to change everything, our surat and our sirat. When the British came, we shaved off our beards. When the British came, then we adopted their style of eating, drinking, marriages, engagement parties, wedding parties, everything how the British did, we also wanted to emulate. We thought our respect and our honor lies in that. So they did that first. After that, they started following the so-called Gandhi, who had great compassion and feeling for the Muslims, as was said. We are discussing here in the masjid. There are certain things that are discussed in an audience of Muslim brothers and sisters. So this was what was being then followed. So he said the surat went and the sirat went. Neither was the outward appearance that of a Muslim. Outwardly, when you meet a person, the moment you see the person walking in the street, walking in the bazaar, walking in the school, walking in the college, walking anywhere in the parliament, or walking in the House of Commons, or whether he is walking in the White House, then the moment you see that person, his shakal, his surat, his appearance should immediately tell us that this person is a Muslim. How else are you going to recognize? No doubt that the internals of a person, the heart, the qalb, the purification of that is extremely important. Without that, the person cannot claim to be a good Muslim at all. But this external self also, he says, the surat, when we are not going to even have the surat in our lives, then how can we ask for Allah Ta'ala's help and assistance? At least if the surat is there, then as you have heard so many times, and you must have by-hearted it by now, Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hu. Tere mehboob ki ya rab shabahat leke aaya hu. Haqeeqat isko tu kar de main surat leke aaya hu. So at least the surat, if it is there. But he says na surat hai na sirat hai. Muslims by name, born in Muslims' home, Muslim homes. That's about all that we have to our credit. If we have to ask about the masail of namaz, masail of taharat, masail of zakat, masail of fasting, the pillars of Islam, how many of us can say that yes, we know? Even the farais of namaz, sometimes we are reading that namaz for ages and we don't know the farais. We don't know when to make sajda sahwa. Therefore there will be such a big argument when it comes to the issue of sajda sahwa or anything of that nature. The simple basic masail of deen and sharia we haven't made an effort to learn. Then what about all the other masail? What about akhlaq, muamlat, muasharat, our buying, our selling, our social life, our economic life, our political life? In all these matters, what shariat says, that is far away. So he says, nasurat musalmani, nasirat musalmani. He's talking about the Muslims of India, where they are running into millions. He's talking about them. So he says, when there's no surat, no sirat, how can we expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's help to come? Bala is hal mein kya ho tum par fazle yazdani. We can shout slogans of jihad, we can shout slogans of Islam and Muslim world and everything, but it's not going to help, because we have to get the help of Allah. And the help of Allah does not come with a minority or majority. The help of Allah does not come with the amount of ammunition we have or don't have. The help of Allah Ta'ala does not come with the amount of wealth and property we have. Even if we have a little, we make use of it in the correct way. We make use of the means that Allah Ta'ala has provided. But together with that spirit of Iman, that quwwat and strength of Iman, then Allah Ta'ala's help comes. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Nahnu qawmun azzana Allahu bil Islam. We are a people that Allah Ta'ala gave us respect through Islam. Today we are taking the name of Islam. But he said, Nasurat hai Musalmani, Nasirat hai Musalmani. Where do we really see Islam? Where can we go and see Islam? They have this, what we call, exchange of students from overseas, the country's exchange students. They give them scholarships and they go and live with families. Now one person I met in England, and that person says, that student says, that he was living with a Muslim family. We happened to meet on the train and we started discussing Islam. And then he tells me, he said that he was living with a Muslim family there in England. He says, I found no difference. He said, what you are telling me now about Islam, it's something new. I stayed so long with this Muslim family. We went to the cinemas, we went to the theaters, we went to the gambling dens, we went to every place that you can think of. And they gave me the best of time. They entertained me, they welcomed me. They were very hospitable, they were very warm and very affectionate. They were everything. But I didn't see what you are telling me, Islam. This is our condition. Nasurat Musalmani, Nasirat Musalmani. So now what are we, what is going to rub on to them? Now to that person, the only thing he knows is that Muslims are hospitable. So is that the only thing about Islam? That student, when he goes back, what can he... But if there was in that home tilawat of the Quran Sharif, if there was some zikrullah taking place, if there was some reading from the books of hadith, if there was some practice of Islam taking place in that home, when this person said that let's go now and visit, let's go to the cinema, let's go to the theater, then if this family said that no, we are Muslims, this is haram for us, this is forbidden, and explain to them why, then that person would have been influenced with Islam. But here there was nothing, no Islam was presented. The only thing was given was entertainment. So this is what Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is saying, the Surat Musalmani, Nasirat Musalmani. That if a person meets us, he neither sees Islam in us, in our outward appearance, and nor Islam inside us. So how are we then going to get the help of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? He says, they have worked so hard, these enemies of Islam and enemies of your deen. They have worked so hard that they have taken away your surat too and taken away your sirat too. They have just left us with names. We must not look at a small gathering that is sitting here. You must look at the millions of Muslims, the 1 billion Muslims that's outside. What percentage is there that you can just look at the person and say that this is a Muslim? How many times we have to hesitate, and most of the times then we just have to just nod our head like that, that if he is a Muslim, then he'll think that I made salam, and if he's not a Muslim, then he'll think I made good morning or good evening. How many times? And this is the truth what I am telling you. Because the person has got no sign of Islam on him. So how are you going to make salam, such an important thing, salam? A dua that you want to give to your Muslim brother, that may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala keep you in peace in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirat. I'm assuring you and guaranteeing you that I'm not going to harm you in any way in this world. I'm not going to harm you in your property, in your family, in any way. Your respect, your honor, everything is safe. I'm your Muslim brother. And there's so much of detail to it. But we have to be hesitant. We have to hesitate. Think twice. Must I make this person salam or not? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that you must make salam ala man arafta wa man lam ta'rif, whether you know the person or don't know the person. So it is the duty of the Muslim that he mustn't make salam only to those people that he knows. He must make salam to everyone, anyone who is a Muslim, whether he knows the person or does not know the person. But then that person has to have some outward sign of Islam on him so that we may make salam to him. Lots of people become offended that he didn't make salam. But then how are we going to know if that person does not have any outward appearance? One person was arguing this issue that it's not so important, this beard and topi and things you all talk about in one university. So I posed a very simple question to him. In fact, I told him, I said, okay, you line up 100 people, 100, all clean shaven, suit and tie, line them up. And of that 100, have just one person, just one, with a beard, with a topi and a kurta. Have just one in the 100. And all must be total strangers to that 5-6 year old child. The 100 must be total strangers to that 6 year old child. And then I will bring that 6 year old child, and I will tell that child, now go and make salam to him whom you recognize as a Muslim. To whom will the child go and make salam? As it's obvious and clear that although 100 are strangers to him, but he will straight away go to that one person that he sees in kurta, beard and topi, and he will say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. So isn't this a sign of recognition? Isn't it that identity? A Muslim identifies himself. So that is the surat that we are talking about. Of course, that is not the only thing. Repeatedly I have said that Islam is not just beard and just kurta. Enter into the fold of Islam completely. But this is what we term as the outward appearance. So this is what Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh says, Na surat hai musalmani, na sirat hai musalmani, bala is hal mein phir kya ho tum par fazle yazdani. We are making so much of duas, but how can Allah Ta'ala's madad and nusrat and help come? No matter, he says, how much of sa'i and how much of effort you have made. You have tried so much of things, coalition, and you have tried so much of summits and conferences and seminars and everything, but you haven't succeeded. He says, Musalma ban ke dekho. Become Muslims in the true sense of the word, and then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's nusrat, his help, will be with you. Because it has been a proven thing. It's not something that we are talking that hasn't been proven. The Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in are our examples. So it has been proven that there was a time when there was so much of kufr and shirk there, but when they accepted Islam, and then when they went to invite and call people towards this deen, then because they had those hearts which had been purified in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those hearts which were purified of malice, of greed, of evil desires and passions, of lust, of pride, of arrogance, when their hearts were purified, now wherever they went, people were ready to accept Islam, because they saw it in their sirat and they saw it in their surat. And they were so effective that wherever they went, they did not only change the surat and of those people, but they changed the sirat of those people too. The language of the people also changed. Egypt and all these places, there was no Arabic there. But wherever they went, even the language changed. That was the effect of the Sahabas.
Rawadari toho lekin na itni bhi rawadari. Rawadari toho lekin na itni bhi rawadari ke khatir se buto ki apne din par pher do aari. Nahi kuch dur andeshi kharabi iski hai sari. Zamana bole pan ka ab nahi lazim hai hushyari. Musalmano utho bahre amal tayyar ho jao. Nahi ye waqt ghaflat ka bas ab bedar ho jao.
He says, we are not saying that you must not be good. You must not be good to those people that are not believing in Islam, or they are not of your faith and religion. You feed them, you entertain them, you welcome them, you talk to them, you deal with them, all in accordance with the Quranic laws. There is no sin in that. In fact, if your niyat is that if I am going to deal with this non-Muslim person in the way that Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba Ikram dealt with the non-Muslims, then inshallah he will be influenced with Islam. So then with that niyat, to feed them and to entertain them and to give them tea and offer them some biscuits and cakes is all permissible. But he say, here our entertainment of those who we know are the enemies of Islam. It is not for the sake of Islam. We have got high hopes that if we are going to align ourselves to this country or that country, if we are going to become pro-American or pro-Russian or pro-Chinese, then our problems will be solved. So this is our yaqeen and our faith, that we are looking at what they own, what they possess. Our eyes are dazzled by the glitter and glamour outside. And then we believe that in aligning ourselves to them and adopting their culture, adopting their lifestyles, and following their way of life, it will definitely give us happiness, peace and satisfaction. And we will also be very successful. Or that country, if we are going to become pro-American or pro-Russian or pro-Chinese, then our problems will be solved. So this is our yaqeen and our faith, that we are looking at what they own, what they possess. Our eyes are dazzled by the glitter and glamour outside. And then we believe that in aligning ourselves to them and adopting their culture, adopting their lifestyles, and following their way of life, it will definitely give us happiness, peace and satisfaction. And we will also be very successful and will make great progress. I've explained in some other talk that progress is of two kinds. One is that progress where the person is eating good food, healthy food, and is exercising, is jogging, is skipping, is running, and his body is built up. He picks up weights. So that person's arm, if it is big and he's got a big body, then we say that person has got good health. And the other person whose body is also big, but it is caused by a beating up that he was given. Somebody took a whip and really whipped him, or took a stick and beat him up so much that his hands swelled, his feet swelled, his body swelled. So no sensible person will say that this person is in good health. So the progress of the Muslim, his health is in adopting Islamic culture, in adopting Islamic way of life, in adopting himself and implementing in the home, in the family, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the teachings of the Quran. That will give him health. Then even if he owns a little, but he will have peace of mind, happiness, satisfaction and contentment. And if he owns plentiful, but his body is like that person who has beaten up because he's got haram earnings, or he's indulging in all kinds of things that is against the Quran and Sunnah, so then that is not health for that person, who is a Muslim. So nobody says we must not progress. Sometimes we get the impression that we are being restricted from making progress. Progress is something that the Quran Sharif says we must make. Rasulullah Pak Sahasam said we must make. So who can restrain us from progress? But that progress must be in accordance with the, or it must be such that it is pleasing to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he says here that you must be good. Nobody says that you must not be good. But it must not be such kind of goodness from your side that you take the saw and you slice up your own culture. When it comes to your functions, when it comes to your programs, when it comes to your weddings and the walimas and the feasting, then at that time make sure that you are not taking the saw and putting on the Islamic culture. He says if we are going to take the saw and slice up that Islamic culture and leave behind nothing for the non-Muslim to see, he said, then this kind of culture is not going to invite Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's help. So be good. And at the same time he says that this is no more the time to sleep and to be foolish and stupid. Bholapan. Then the person is foolish. He gets carried away. He gets carried away by slogans, by the outward statements that are made by the rulers of the countries. They project, it seems as if there is great love and muhabbat for the Muslim Ummah in their hearts, and they are coming and going to the Muslim countries in and out, and they are entertained and welcomed, and all the secrets are given to them of the country, and after they go back, then they plan how to destroy the Muslim Ummah. So he says, recognize now, the time has come for you, O Muslims, to recognize who your friends are and who your enemies are. Again, the same theme that he says, recognize, the time has come. How long are we going to remain indifferent? How long are we going to remain negligent? He says, now get ready for action. Too much of speeches have been heard. Too many speeches and talks have been heard. He says, now get ready for action and recognize who your friends are and who your enemies are. Differentiate between them. Don't play into the hands of your enemies. Be strong and firm. Just for the sake of a little bit of gold and silver coins, don't sell your deen and sell your iman. We all know that the only interest that America and the other countries have in the Middle East is the oil. You take away the oil and they're not interested in anything. So he said, how long are you going to consider them to be your friends? The sad thing is that today the Muslims consider their own Muslims as enemies, and those who are their true enemies, we consider them as our friends. We should not only think of the countries or the governments, we are looking in our own societies, that so many times we hear from a non-Muslim person things which were not to be told to him. Fights, arguments, quarrels, disputes, disunity, division, which is amongst the Muslims in our society, which is taking place in the masjids and in homes and in business houses. So this was supposed to be kept within the family or kept within our society circles. But just one newspaper reporter has to get hold of some Muslim, and that Muslim has to be the enemy of that other Muslim with whom he is fighting. And to bring about embarrassment, disgrace and shame upon that Muslim, he will give every secret that you can think of. And he will put all mari masala and give it to him too. He'll add on to it. And then the newspapers will report. And then the non-Muslim who wanted to know more about Islam and come closer to Islam, when he will read that, he said, but what do you want me to do? If I accept Islam, then what difference will it make? As it is, there's so much of division and fight in your community, what am I going to get? I was in Dublin and I gave the Jummah talk there in the masjid, and after the Jummah talk, then the local imam, he stood up and he said, brothers, I just want to bring to your attention that last week the fight that took place in the masjid, there was a Christian person who had come to the masjid for the first time, and he was convinced that Islam is the true religion, and therefore he had come here, and after Jummah he wanted to accept Islam. But the moment the fighting started, he put on his shoes and he ran away. And he telephoned and told me that I had come to accept Islam, but when I saw what happened in your mosque, then I thought that there was no sense in accepting Islam, because we have enough of those kind of fights in our Christian religion. I thought Muslims were all one. How many people we must have chased away due to our dealings? How many people we must have chased away? These arguments and quarrels of ours which take place in masajid, we don't know how many people we must have stopped from coming into the fold of Islam, because it goes out, it doesn't remain within the masjid. When we are going for football and cricket and other such sporting activities, then most of the time we go in the company of non-Muslim friends, and then there we discuss our internal affairs, our home affairs. Brothers, the time, as he says, is no more to remain foolish. Get up and start bringing that culture of Islam into our lives, into the lives of our children, our families. And if we are not going to do that, then we already are seeing what the results and the consequences are. Allah Ta'ala must not show us the day when we will have to shed tears of blood. Many, many parents, I can tell you, they are already shedding tears of blood. Children have gone out of the fold of Islam. So he says, Nasurat Musalmani, Nasirat Musalmani. I was told in Cape Town this weekend, we had a meeting there. So I was told, I didn't hear of it, but this is a minister, our Minister of Justice, that was one of the issues there that was being discussed, that he said that these laws of Islam about amputation, they are primitive laws. So this is our state of affairs, that we are not convinced that Islamic law is the ideal. If Islamic law comes, then that will be the end of problems in the world. I was next to a Christian priest on the plane, and we were discussing about the crime in the country. So I told him that it's not any kind of argument or debate or anything of that nature, but even today, if a person has to go to Saudi Arabia, then with all its weakness, but because they are implementing certain Islamic laws, crime level is very, very low. And even today you can see with your naked eyes that millions of dollars and pounds exchange hands on the open street, and there's no security. We haven't seen a guard standing with a gun at most of those banks, and there's not even a decent lock. At namaz time they just pull one shutter, and in fact so many shops they just put a bed sheet over the garments and they go away. And a person doesn't have the courage to steal, because he knows that one hand is going to go. So it is better that you chop off one hand and allow 3 million people, 10 million people to sleep in peace, than that you say human right, and save the hands of that one person, but the whole country cannot go to sleep. So I told him, I said that besides the other contributory factors towards this, one of the things is when you say Christ died for our sins. When we are going to say that Christ died for our sins, and you are telling the criminals that you don't have to worry, Christ died for your sins. So he says, no, but that is not what it means. I said, exactly, that's what I'm telling you. I know that it doesn't mean that. But when every preacher is going to say that Christ died for your sins, so you are giving the green light and you are giving the license to the criminals that you don't have to worry. Steal, kill, murder, Christ died for your sins. You will go to paradise. Whereas Islam says that God is forgiving. He is very merciful. No matter how much of sins you may have committed, He is prepared to forgive. But if you have stolen any person's property, then you have to ask that person for forgiveness. If you have taken somebody's wealth illegally, then you have to return it, or you have to ask him for forgiveness. If you have harmed or injured any person, when it comes to the rights of human beings, then Islam, being a religion of truth and the religion of Allah, which is preserved in the form of the Quran Sharif, where not a syllable, not a letter, not a word can be altered. So it says that Allah is forgiving. But when it comes to the rights of people, you must ask that person for forgiveness. So if only you priests can also explain this concept, that Jesus died for your sins, what does it mean? Then probably some Christians would understand. But as far as I am concerned, the majority there who claim that they are Christians, there's no question of accountability. They are not worried about a day of judgment or hereafter, because Christ died for their sins. So brothers, this is what the message is. We will continue inshallah next week. But this is the message, that there is no other way out for us. We will have to bring Islamic teachings into our lives and begin at the beginning. And the beginning is that take the courage and throw that shaitan and devil out of the house. I'm telling you, you will find peace and happiness and satisfaction. I've got so many now, without exaggeration, so many people that are telling me, Maulana, there was a time when we never thought that possible. But after getting rid of that from our lives, the desire that was in our heart all the time to rape, to commit adultery, to commit fornication, He says that went away from our hearts. One person writes, he says that desire that was all the time there, he says that thing went away. And so many other sinful things. Hence, my blood must be sweet. So the desire went away, and so many other evils went out of our lives the moment we took that out. Children became obedient, wives became wife and husbands, happiness came into their lives. So many differences and changes start coming, because this is the starting point of all the evil. I will conclude on again one more incident. One teacher wrote to me that he heard one of my tapes, and in there it was mentioned that a certain girl or some girls wrote that they don't know why suddenly they developed a hatred for the parents. In one of the majlis that they had discussed that after watching a certain program on the television, they developed a hatred for the parents, don't want to see the parents, and they don't know why. Yet the parents are very good to them, and there's nothing that should create this kind of enmity and hatred. So now this teacher, school teacher, brothers, don't think that we are safe and secure. Don't think our iman is very strong, so it won't cause any harm to us. Here this person writes, he says, I am involved in deen work, and I am also a school teacher. And I hated, he says, the moment I heard of homosexuality, you know, I can throttle the person. That is how hated it was in my sight. He says, I watched a certain film on the television, and it had something to do with homosexuality and lesbianism. And after watching those incidents, he says, leave alone the hatred going out of my heart. He says, it seemed as if it just vanished. That hatred vanished, but not only hatred vanished, he says, the love of it came into my heart. He says, now when I am teaching young boys in my class, I cannot keep my gaze park. نَوْزُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكِ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Brothers, this is the effect. This is the effect. How long are we going to cry over it? How long are we going to sleep? When our children will go down the drain, then that time we will get up. Does it make sense to supply them such kind of things, such kind of poison that is going to ruin their lives? Here, this is, I'm telling you, this is what the teacher says, and he wants a remedy. He says, how do I get that hatred back in my heart? So don't think a little bit of zikr and a little bit of tilawat and a little bit of deen work, and then we can watch whatever we want and listen to whatever we want, make hajj and umrah, everything is maaf. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq of making amal, and all of us, we all are weak, we all are in the same vicious environment, and we all are being lashed with fitnas from all sides. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما, ظاہری باطنی صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطعن ہر گناہ کو تو معاف فرما. ہم سب کو صحت عافیت عزت سلامتی نصیب فرما. ہمارے ایمان کی جان کی مال کی عزت آبرو کی حفاظت فرما. اے اللہ ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما. ان فتنوں کے زمانے میں ہماری پوری پوری حفاظت فرما. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم, وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.